Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of The Balanced Mind. My name is Dion Bicycle and last week we talked about putting words in other people's mouths, usually friends. But today I thought let's stick on the subject of friendship and let's talk about how even in good friends, we still need to set boundaries. So let's get into it. Have you ever had one of those days where your phone buzzes and you see a certain name on a screen and the first instinct isn't to pick up? It is to slide the phone across the table like it is a hot potato. We've all been there, and usually we feel like a jerk for not answering it. And we think, man, I'm such a bad friend. They're just calling to chat. But here's what I realized. That feeling isn't you being a bad person. It is your brain telling you that you are full capacitated. You can't take any more chatting. Most of us, we were raised to be nice. We were told that being a good friend means always being available. We treat our lives like a studio apartment with no walls. Everyone, from your best friend since kindergarten to that person you met once at the networking event, has the key to your front door. They can talk into the kitchen, sit on your bed and start going through your fridge whenever they like. But you can't live like that. You'd be exhausted. You'd never have a quiet moment to just be. And yet, that's exactly how we handle our emotional lives. We give to our inner circle access, even if it is just people from our foyer, meaning everyday connections. Inner circle, meaning your best friends. So let's build some boundaries. The good kind. I want you to picture your social life as a house. To keep your mind balanced, you need different rooms for different people. For instance, the foyer, your casual crowd. These are your everyday friends. The ones you see at the gym, at the office, in the neighborhood. You like them, right? They are great, but they don't need to know how your deep-seated childhood trauma or why you are crying today. They don't need to know that. They stay in the foyer, so you keep them at a distance. You chat for 5 minutes and then you go about your day. Secondly, we get the living room. The solid friends. These are the people you actually invite over. You trust them. You share some of real stuff with them. But even the living room has visiting hours. Boundaries. You don't have to keep your door open 24/7. And thirdly, we have the inner room, right? The private. This is where your core group of friends are usually allowed in. Usually it's only one or two people, maybe three. These are the ones who have the spare key to your house. They are the ones you call when life falls apart. The problem is when we let the foyer person sit in our inner room for 3 hours on a Tuesday night, we are already drained. That's where the burnout happens. Let's do a quick gut check. Think about at least 3 people you hang out with. The last 3 people. Did you leave with the feeling that your battery was charged? Or did you get in a car and just sit in silence for 10 minutes because you were so overpeopled? In other words, you were drained. If your feeling is deflated after every hangout, it's not because they're bad people. It's because the access doesn't match the investment. You're giving them premium access to your energy, but the relationship isn't designed for that. It's like trying to run a marathon with flip-flops. It just doesn't work. But I get it. Setting boundaries feels very mean. We feel sorry for people. We think we are the cold ones. But let me ask you this. Is it nicer to say yes to a coffee date, show up and spend a lot of time feeling resentful and checking your watch every 5 minutes? Or is it nicer to be honest and say, hey, I'd really like to see you, but I'm totally wiped out this week. Can we make it for next week? The second one is actually more respectful because it is honest. It protects the friendship from the poison of resentment. A boundary isn't a keep out sign. It is a here is how to love me well manual. It is about protecting yourself. And sometimes, many times, we need to tell that to people, and that's why we need to have boundaries. I want you to try one thing. It's called the pause. Next time someone asks for your time, whether it's a text, a call, or an invite, an email, don't answer right away. Take 5 minutes. Ask yourself, which room is this person in? Is the person in the foyer, the living room, or is it in the inner room, the private bedroom? And do I have the energy for them right now? If the answer is no, that is totally okay. No is a full sentence. It doesn't need a 5-paragraph apology attached to it. You can simply say no without an explanation. So we came to the closing of our first segment. In the next segment, we're going to talk about that physical knot you get in your stomach when you know a boundary is being crossed and how to listen to what your body is trying to tell you. In the last segment, we talked about the architecture of our friendships, you know, the houses of our friendships, the foyers, the living room, and the inner rooms, the bedroom, private room. But there's the thing. Even if you have the best blueprints in the world, someone is eventually going to try and hop the fence. Sometimes they don't even mean to. They're just living their lives, and they assume your door is open because it's always been open. So, how do you know when a boundary is being crossed before you end up snapping at them or ghosting them entirely? So we need to listen to our check engine light. That is usually a light that's on your dashboard in a car. When it comes on, you realize there's something wrong with the engine. And in order to save your car, you need to listen to the light, you need to stop, and you need to check what is wrong with the engine. If you don't stop and ignore the engine light, you are going to lose your car. Of course, it's going to break down. Now, that's the same. Our check engine light is that feeling, you know? We all had it. You're sitting on a couch, maybe you finally sat down after a long day, and your phone vibrates on the coffee table, and you see the name. And instead of thinking, oh cool, Sarah's calling, you feel this sink within your gut. And that is the bad feeling we feel. It is a literal physical weight in your chest or a knot in your stomach. I want you to really lean into that feeling for a second. That feeling isn't you being a bad friend. It's your body's alarm system. Your brain isn't trying to be nice. It's trying to say, pick up, she had a bad week. But your nervous system is screaming, we are at 0% capacity. We cannot handle this right now. When you ignore that feeling, you aren't being a good friend. You're just training yourself to resent that person. And resentment is the silent killer of every good relationship. Once, one of the biggest engine lights in our everyday friendship is something called emotional dumping. Now, we all vent. We all need to complain about our boss or our partner or just another friend. That's what friends are for, right? But there's a massive difference between venting and dumping. Venting is a two-way street. It's like, hey, do you have 10 minutes? I need to get something off my chest. You're asking permission. You're checking the other person's room before you walk in. You're asking, can I do this, yes or no? By dumping, on the other hand, is when someone just backs up the truck and empties a load of bricks on your head without asking. No, how are you? No, do you have space for this? Just 45 minutes of their drama while you're trying to cook dinner for your partner or your kids. They just go on and on and on. If you feel slimy or heavy, after a phone call, like you just took on someone else's backpack, and now you're the one who's tired. That's a boundary leak. You're being used as a processor, not as a person or really as a friend. I want to challenge you to start paying attention to your body during your everyday social interaction during the week. Do you have maybe one of the following? A jaw cleansed, where you are gritting your teeth while you talk. Or the hurry up habit. You are checking in, or you're checking your watch or the clock on the stove every 2 minutes. You're in a hurry. Then time is important to you. And then is a breath. Are you holding your breath many times during a conversation or in a situation? Or when something is taking too long? And then we get that exhale and we say, I just want to be over and done with this. These are all signs of your internal space being invaded. Your body is trying to protect you. It is saying, hey, listen there, person. We need a wall here. We need a boundary here. Because we want to be liked. We ignore the jaw cleansed. We ignore the stomach knot. And we push through. And then what happened? 3 weeks later, we explode over something tiny. Or we just stop answering the person text altogether. That is not balance, people. That's a crash. So, how do we stop the leak? We'll get into the actual scripts in the next segment. But for now, I want you to try being a mirror, not a sponge. A mirror reflects. You can say, wow, I can see how much that hurts. Or you can say, that sounds incredibly frustrating. Or you can say, I can understand and I can hear what you're going through. The thing is, you are acknowledging the feeling, but you aren't taking them home with you. I just want to say this again. You need to acknowledge the person's feeling, but not make it yours. See, you're standing on your side of the boundary line, and they're standing on theirs. So as we wrap up this segment, I want you to think about one person in your life who constantly triggers that deep, heavy feeling in your chest or the knot in your stomach. Just one. Don't judge yourself for it. Just acknowledge it. Say something like, when Dion texts me again, I feel a tightness in my chest. Once you name it, the feeling loses power over you. You realize that it's not a mystery. It is a sign that the boundary needs to be built. You aren't mean for feeling that way. You are just a human being and you are out of space. But stick around for segment 3. We're going to talk about the art of saying a kind no thank you. I'm going to give you the exact words to say to stop the dumping and start reclaiming your peace without losing your friends in the process. Now, in this segment, we are going to talk about the art of saying no. The art of saying a kind no. If you're still with us, you've done the hard part. You've mapped out your friendship house. You know, where's the foyer, your living room, and where's your bedroom. And which friends you're allowing where. And you've checked your engine lights. How much can you still accommodate? And you realized, yeah, I've been acting like a sponge. And I'm soaked. Now comes a part that makes everyone's palms sweaty. The actual saying something. Most of us avoid setting boundaries because we think we only have two options. Be a doormat or be a jerk. Now, a doormat is you say yes to everything. You stay miserable and eventually you ghost a person. Being a jerk is to exploit them. Tell them they are draining you and burn the bridge down. But there is a third door. It's the kind no. And honestly, it's the most balanced thing you can do for your mind and your friendships. When you have a set boundary with an everyday friend, you don't want to just hit them with a no and walk away. You want to wrap that no in something nicer, in a context, right? Think of it like a sandwich. The top bun is validation. You show them you value the relationship. In the middle, you get the meat, which is the boundary. This is where you are clear and direct. And the bottom bun is an alternative. You offer a way to connect that actually works for you. Let's look at the real world example. Say you have a friend who emotionally dumps everything on you. They call, don't ask how you are, and they just start venting. Instead of sitting there for an hour, getting tired, and reaching your capacity, you can say something like this. Hey, you know what, friend? I love you, and I want to hear about this a bit more. This is the top bun of the sandwich. But I'm actually at the capacity today that I can't give you the total focus you deserve. That is the meat, the boundary. Can we catch up for 20 minutes on Saturday morning instead? That is the bottom bun. See, what you did there? You didn't reject them. They rejected the timing. Sorry, not they. You rejected the timing, not the person. You're telling them, I want to be a good friend. And to do that, I need to talk when I'm actually having the capacity for doing it. So, this is the classic therapist trick. But it works wonders in friendships. When we feel overwhelmed, we tend to point fingers. We say, "You always call at the worst time," or "You never ask how I am." I must admit, I have a friend, when this person calls, they don't say, "Hi, hello, how are you?" They just go into the sentence on going on the topic of why they called, and I get so angry and irritated because I am not a record machine. I'm a human being. Please at least say hello, how are you? Just be polite. But no, this person just goes on with the story. Just instead of saying "you always go at the wrong time" or "you never ask how I am," instead of saying those things, try something like, "You know what, I'm really feeling burnt out lately, so I'm just focused on work and I put my phone a bit on the side just in order to regain or stay focused." Or you can say something like this, saying, "I realized I need more quiet time on the weekend to recharge for work." When they don't respect your time over weekends, you can just say that you reserve your energy for the week ahead. Or you can also say, "You know what, I love your hangouts, I love being around you, I love talking to you, but I found that I am struggling to keep up with late nights or appointments." Because some people also tend to ask for your time, and you need to stop your work in order to give them a friendship. There needs to be a boundary where you can say, "But I really need to do my work first before I can give attention to you." You aren't blaming them for being who they are. You are simply informing of your current conditions. You're saying, "You know what, it's raining over here, so I'm putting up a huge umbrella. It's not because I don't like the sun, but it's because I'm getting wet." In other words, you're just saying, "You know what, it's nothing to do with you. My current circumstances is quite heavy now. I do not have time to speak with you. Can I just put you on my list or in my diary to phone you back? Would that be okay?" So I want you to start small. Don't go and try and overhaul all 20 year best friendship today. Start with an everyday friends. If someone asks you to go to a movie and you honestly rather just sit in your pajamas and watch Netflix, try a small but kind no. Try something like this: "Thanks for the invite. I'm actually going to have a low-key night at home, but I hope you are having a blast." Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say, "I'm sorry." I didn't give a 3-page excuse because I'm tired. I just stated my reality. When you over-explain, you're basically saying, "Please validate my reason so that I don't need to feel guilty." But you don't need a good enough reason to have a boundary, because "I want to" is the good enough reason. Let's talk about those specific everyday boundaries. For the friend who expects an instant reply to every text, say something like this: "Hey, just a heads up, I'm trying to be on my phone less during the day, so I might be slow to get back to you, but I'll check in with you if I can. For the friend who always wants to drop by unannounced, you can say something like, I love seeing you and I appreciate you checking in, but I'm a bit hermit right now and when I'm at home. Let's make sure we text and plan something ahead of time so I can be ready to receive your company. These aren't attacks, these are instructions. You are teaching people how to be in a relationship with you without it costing you your peace of mind. Then we get something that we call a guilt hangover. I'm going to be real with you. The first few times you do this, you're going to feel a guilt hangover. You send the text, but as you put your phone down, your brain will tell you that you are being a terrible person and a horrible friend. When this happens, I want you to take a deep breath and remind yourself, guilt is just the feeling of breaking an old habit. It's not a sign that you did something wrong. It's just growing pains for your balanced mind. When we come back, we're going to talk in our final segment. We're going to talk about the pushback. What happens when the friends don't take it well? How do you know when a friendship is worth the work and when it's time to let the seasons change? We're talking about boundaries with friends. And now we're going to talk about what happens when friends push back and disturb our peace. Just a reminder that we mapped out the house. We've listened to our gut. And we've practiced the kind no. But now we have to talk about the elephant in the room. What happens when you set the boundary and the other person, well, they don't like it? If you spent years being the person who always says yes, the people around you have gotten used to. When you suddenly start saying, you know what, I can't do it today, or I need some space, give me some space, and it's going to feel like a glitch in the matrix of the being. And here's the hard truth. The people who get the most upset when you set a boundary are usually the ones who benefited the most from you having none. I want to repeat that. The people who get the most upset when you set a new boundary are usually the ones who benefited the most from you having none. So you send that kind no. The text we practiced in the last segment. You feel proud of yourself. Then 10 minutes later, the phone rings. Oh, okay. I guess I'll handle this massive crisis by myself. Sorry for bothering you. Ouch. Oh, no. That's the classic guilt trip. It's designed to make you feel bad. So you cave and go back to being the old you. In that moment, your heart rate is going up. You are going to want to type, wait, no, I'm sorry, look, I'll call you right away. Don't do that. When someone hits you with a guilt trip, you aren't respecting their needs. They are apologizing for their own convenience. A balanced mind realizes that you are not responsible for someone else's reaction to a healthy limit. If you set a boundary with kindness and they react with anger, that is their work to do, not yours. I just want to repeat this. If they don't like your boundary and they react to the boundary, that is their property and they need to work on that, because many of them won't react well to your healthy limit because they are so used to you saying yes all the time. But how they react has everything to do with them. And what they do is their property, not yours. You sticking to your property because you are putting up a healthy limit. Then we have something that we call a grace period. Now, I want you to be fair. If you've been a yes person for 5 years and suddenly change the rules tomorrow, your friends might just be confused. They might need a grace period. Give them a chance to adjust. If an everyday friend pushes back once, you can gently restate the boundary. I know I'm usually available, but I've realized I've been running empty lately, so I'm making some changes. I still love to see you often, but it's going to be tough. A good friend, whether they are a four-year friend or an inner circle friend, will eventually say, "Oh, I get it. Sorry, my bad. I'll check in with you later." They might not love it, but they will respect you. But when the no becomes a goodbye, but what if they don't? What if they keep pushing, keep going on with the guilt tripping, or start calling you cold or selfish? This is where the architecture we spoke about in segment 1 becomes so important. Sometimes when you start setting boundaries, you realize that some of your everyday friends weren't really friends at all. They are just people who liked having access to your energy. If a relationship only works when you are self-sacrificing, then that relationship isn't balanced. It's a transaction. It's okay for friendships to have reason. It's okay for friendships to have seasons. It's okay to realize that someone you used to be close with now belongs in the foyer. So they move from your living room to the foyer. Or even worse, not worse, but also you get people who you used to keep them close in your heart in the inner circle, in the bedroom. Now you're moving them to the foyer. Or maybe not even in the house at all. Letting go of a friendship that drains you isn't a failure. It's an act of self-preservation. You are clearing out the clutter so you have room for the people who actually see you and respect your space. I want to leave you with a thought as we wrap up this episode. But before we do that, I just want to say with a balanced mind isn't about being perfect. It's not about never feeling overwhelmed. It's about being honest with yourself and with people in your life. When you start setting boundaries in your friendships, you'll notice something amazing happens. That heavy feeling in your stomach starts going away. And the engine check light we spoke about stops blinking. You start showing up for your hangouts with actual joy instead of secret resentments. You become a better friend because you're showing up as a real self. As your real self, not the polite version of yourself that's secretly dying for the conversation to end. As you go into your week, I want you to remember you are the architect of your own life. You get to decide who gets the key to your house. You get to decide when to visit, when the visiting hours are. And you get to decide when it's time to close the door and just be with yourself. Start small. Set one tiny boundary this week. Say no to one thing you don't actually want to do. And then notice the peace that follows. You've earned it. Guys, I just want to take this opportunity to say that I was that friend that crossed boundaries. I didn't always respect the boundaries. I thought that all my friends in my life is my inner circle friends. So I would go to them if I'm getting when life is getting difficult, and I would dump all my realities on them. And then also when they give me an opportunity to work on it and they would say, okay, we hear you, but what about this idea? I would say no. And I would slam it back into their faces, thinking that they're not the ones who understand my situation. Meantime, they really gave me what they could give me. And crossing that boundary and not respecting them and their time and their place, I lost their friendships. And in the beginning, I couldn't understand why I lost their friendships. I thought they were all bad. And no, it's not them. I did not respect all their boundaries. And I dumped on them all my things that wouldn't work out. And I would do that to all my friends, not just one or two, to all of my friends. And that really drains people. That is why we spoke about in this episode about one or two friends you can vent and you can say, listen, can we talk about something? We don't vent on everyone. Then people will draw back and they will end the friendship and we won't understand why. So I just want to say, guys, be careful with your friendships. Take care of them and use this metaphor of a house, a foyer, a living room, and a inner circle, your bedroom. I would like to add one room here too. And that is the kitchen. That is the place you work. Remember, when in the kitchen, one is doing the veggies and the other one the meat and so on and so on. That's the room where the most things happen. Alright? And that can symbolize your work relationships. Respect them, and you don't have to go into deep conversation with your colleagues. you can leave them in the kitchen. And remember to place your friendships in that categories to help understand where you can dump, where you can vent. Who is your inner friends, just one or two people, and who is the friends in your foyer, and who's the friends in your living room. When we have this, we can actually understand and we can build better friendships. Friendships that can last a lifetime. Guys, my name is Dion Bicycle, and until we meet next week, keep your balance, keep a balanced mind, and stay focused, and work on your emotional maturity to have better friendships. Ciao.